wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Lord, I wanna go to heaven, but I don't wanna die. Though I long for the day when I have a new birth, still I love living here on earth. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die.
Your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." There's a lot of verses before and after, of course, but just focusing on this one. Yes, appointed unto every man is a time to die once. Point being that everybody in this life dies. everyone is passing through this life, this reality, what it is that we know and understand as far as what this paradigm is, that there is not a soul that has come into this world that stays in this world. Everyone in this reality is moving through. And so consequently, because of the fact that this is something that affects everyone, every person on the face of this earth right now that's here, in the future won't be here. And all that were here couple hundred years ago, all of those guys are all gone too. So, you know, we are here right now at a time, in time, and in this time, just like Jesus came into time for a season, for a reason, and likewise, we too are here in time for a reason, but we're passing through. And so, consequently, because of the fact that you're passing through and that we're all here for a season, you know that you eventually have a date with destiny as such, which is a time that you and I die, a natural death, in that your physical body will stop functioning in this reality. And one thing that's essential, because of the fact that it is going to happen, you know it's going to happen, and I know it's sometimes a tough thing for people to deal with because they're very afraid of it. So many people are very afraid of it, but is to be ready for that, is to be ready for what it means to leave this life, to pass on from this place, and to go on into whatever it is that is next. So we'll spend probably some time also talking a little bit about that too. But I want to set up this series a little bit more, and we're probably going to be transitioning a little bit in all of this as well. So if we can agree on this one as a starting point, as verse 27, chapter 9, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Okay, all of humanity dies. Everybody here in this life passes through. And yet, do you see the irony of the fact that though people pass through this life, how few of them are really ready for what it is to actually leave this life? Most people, the majority of people, live their lives like they are staying here, like they are not going to leave. And they do everything that they can to try to stay here longer, to try to stay and maintain themselves here, to shield themselves here, to pad themselves here. And it comes a point where, you know, and I guess they're granted a bit of a strong delusion, I guess, they've got a full-on strong delusion to actually believe that they can cheat death for a little while, or the possibility of that, especially when they have wealth. But the reality of it is that they all pass through, and for those that aren't ready, it's actually a pretty ugly sight when they go, because they do everything that they can, kicking and screaming all the way into the grave, offering, up to everything that they've got, just to not have to deal with what's on the other side of this life and this reality and this world. Okay, so now what is death? Because we all die. What is death? Well, one thing that it is, and we won't go through everything, but one thing that it is it's a transition point. It's a transition point from this reality into the next. And basically, the next reality, it is what it is. This reality and what you know and you've experienced here, this reality is what it is, and likewise, the next reality is what it is as well. So, you know, whether you're ready to go into it or you're not ready to go into it, either way, you have a date with that destiny, and when you come smack dab up against it, and you face that, the reality of your own mortality, when that happens, the reality that you cross into, it is what it is. Okay? So, does it not make sense to be ready for that? To be prepared as best you can? Now, here's where so many of the religions of the world pop up. Because man is, he realizes that he's going to die. So he's like, oh my gosh, my grandfather died, a friend died, somebody's child died. All these different things pop up, and then they're like, okay, I'm going to die as well. And in that realization, they're like, well, okay, what do I do now? And religions pop up, and they offer what would be considered solutions. When you die, you go into nirvana, or you get recycled and you come back in life after life, or you whatever, you go on into paradise and you have 70 virgins and all of that. Whatever it is, people pop up with stuff to say, okay, this is what happens when you die. Now, here's the thing. The way that people legitimize the things that they're told is they look again for external credibility, because they still try to assess those solutions that people offer them based on the same way that they do everything in the world. So it's like, oh, if they've got a big church building or a big temple or a big mosque or a big this, they wear a collar, they have something stuck on their wall that says they've got a degree from such and such place, that is then enough and everybody else is doing it, everybody else that they're around in their clique says that it's okay. Yeah, of course, that's the way that it's supposed to be. That's the way that it's supposed to work. When you die, then you go to this place and this is what happens. Okay. So, because they feel like, alright, the group is saying this, so it must be okay. The person that's standing up there in a perceived position of authority, they're saying this, so it must be okay. And there's all this, all these other trimmings that are there, so that must be all right, that must be okay, so I will now give my free will over to that solution that I've been told is a solution, and I'll basically check my brains at the door, not deal with any of these other things, and hope that it's right. Now, the issue comes that usually if everything is sort of settled and life is, you know, able to go on at a particular pace and not really be challenged too much, people don't ever really question those beliefs. They just sort of go with them. But the rub comes when, again, it starts hitting close to home again. Something happens, something rocks the boat, usually in the way of a traumatic death or something, or a disease or something, where all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, death is real. And then that question comes, am I ready? And that's when, if there's that uncertainty in your heart, if there is that unsureness, that lack of surety that you are in fact ready to go, then you really need to start questioning and asking these questions. Now here's the thing. This resolution needs to be within. Because death is a transition point, and likewise, when you transition alone. You go to death alone. You came into this world alone. You're born here as an individual. And when you die, you die an individual death. Even if you die in a big group accident or if something terrible happens, you still pass from this life into the next reality by yourself as an individual. And when you do, you better be ready as an individual for what that is and what that means. And if you're not, then you are then stuck with the reality of what it is in the state of preparation that you are at the time that you go there. And so you see why this is important. You see why this is worth taking the time to stop and settle your soul and make sure that this is resolved before you go. In fact, doesn't this seem like it's a much higher priority than that, whatever it is that you were doing, you know, over the last month, over the last 2 months, to make sure that your soul is ready to leave this life, your spirit's ready to leave this life, that you are prepared and ready for what that is and what that means? Okay. Now, people create theologies, people create doctrines. You know, it's intriguing for me. I recently saw in Paris, I recently saw, you know, a bunch of, in one of these art museums, all this stuff from ancient Egypt. And, you know, it's, you think back and you see, oh my gosh, these pharaohs and these pyramids and all, and how these guys would set up their tombs, and they would fill them with, you know, gold and treasures, and sometimes they'd just bury their staff alive with them because of what they believed the afterlife would be and what it is that they thought that they'd need to take care of them when they got there. Now, we know on this side that those tombs got raided. Those tombs were found, grave robbers came in, took everything that was there that had any value, and whoever didn't, they ended up getting put in some museum on display as an artifact for that time. But you don't take anything with you. When you leave this life, everything that you have in the natural and in the material stays here. So a realization needs to be made as how you approach this life and the material life and the material world that you're in and around, by understanding that you are a steward of what is here and in this life, but we own nothing in this life. The illusion of ownership is one that is essential to get rid of, because frankly, we own nothing here. And when we leave, just like the Egyptians, it's all left here for whoever is here afterwards. And you know, there's all kinds of stuff that can happen. So, you know, people that think that they can set something up and it'll carry on a particular way, not quite. You know, how many thrones and kingdoms even that people thought that they had and that they had established were wiped out in a generation, were wiped out very quickly. How many family lines were just completely wiped off the face of the earth? So, you know, people that thought, okay, I'll set myself up, I'll leave some sort of legacy, I'll let the world know that I was here. Okay, who remembers them anymore? Not even footnotes in history are most people. So, life and the reality of what life is, as an individual, there are some things that need to be resolved. Alright. So, in preparing to die, which is essential for... Now, one of the most important things is that we are ready for that when it comes. Now, it can come tomorrow. You can have something happen and that was it and you're gone. Or it could come 80 years from now and you could have a warning of it and you could know and you could have time to prepare and say goodbye to friends and family or whatever. But it comes, and when it does, you need to be ready for it. So what are some things that are essential for now, as somebody that wants truth, that wants the reality, that wants to be ready to pass from this life into the next? What are some things that are essential in that? Well, okay. Start with, first of all, you know, is what you want. Do you want life or do you want death? Now, most people be like, oh, that's a, you know, of course I want life. Well, then what's your choice? What's your choice while you're alive? Okay, John chapter 17 and verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." Okay, so that is life eternal. So if somebody would say of their own free will that they want eternal life, that they don't want to die for all eternity, that they want to live for all eternity, well, that life then is something that is only available in Christ. Because, alright, so now if we take the scripture as the Word of God, which when it is quickened by the Spirit of God, it is the Word of God, right here, it spells it out for us so that those that have an ear to hear and a heart to understand, says that this is life eternal, that they might know thee. Not that you might go to church, not that you might sign on to some doctrine, not that you might wear a special shirt or a collar or a robe or have some degree on your... No, none of that. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. So life eternal is knowing the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So to have life eternal and to know life eternal is to know Jesus, to know the Father. And without that knowledge, without that, it's not a head knowledge. It is an intimacy, it is a relationship with Him, a living, dynamic, consummated relationship where the Spirit of God, He's in you and you are in Him, and you are one in spirit, and you live your existence out in that. Because He is life. All life flows from Him, and without Him there is no life. So basically, what is there is that when you pass from this life into the next, from this reality into the next, you pass from this reality forward, consummated with life. So when you leave this place, you leave this place in connection with life, and so you go on basically in life, rather than leaving this place without being connected to life. And if you leave this place without being connected to life, you leave this place basically dead, and you go on into reality, into the next reality, dead. So it shouldn't be a surprise. It shouldn't be, for the people that choose that, they shouldn't be shocked when they go from this life into the next, because that was their choice. They chose to reject life while I was there and while I was being offered to them, and they chose to embrace death and the way of death. And the process of that was, okay, now you get for all eternity the reality of your choice. Okay. So one of the first things that's necessary for a person to prepare to die is to connect up with the reason you were made in the first place. This is life, to know Jesus. So you have to, need to, connect up with the reason that you were made. If you own a vehicle, the vehicle itself, unless that vehicle starts and drives, that vehicle is not fulfilling the purpose and the reason that it was made. A vehicle is made to drive. A vehicle is made to take you from A to B. Now, vehicles can come in all shapes and forms. They can be really, really flashy, or they can be a clunker. But the function of the vehicle, the reason that it was made, is to transport you. Now, people use them for all kinds of other things, status symbols, etc., etc. But if the vehicle doesn't work, it's not fulfilling the reason that it was made. Same with you and I. You and I were made, the reason you and I were made is we were made to be in relationship with our Creator. And that is the primary reason that we were made, to know Him. Now, this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. We were made to know Him. We were made to have life, and that life flows from knowing Him. And without knowing Him, without having that life and that connection, we miss the reason that we were made. So just like a car, all you've got now is something that's sitting in your garage taking up space. It's not taking you anywhere. It's not fulfilling the reason that it was made. Likewise, a person that doesn't know God, doesn't have a relationship with Him, is not fulfilling the reason that they were made. They're taking up space. They're getting in the way. They are a big fat paperweight in life, not going anywhere, not doing anything, and existing there until they die and they're scraped up and buried or burned, and they go on into the next life having never fulfilled the reason that they were made. Now, here's the irony. It's a choice. It is a free will decision. You can choose to know Him and to walk with Him, or you can choose to reject Him and to embrace the world, in which case you never fulfill the reason you were made. Sure, the world will let you do all kinds of things and will give you substitutes and will give you, but all of those, will give you a runner on the track, but all of those are completely based on what the world does to further its own system of robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying, and all of that is done external of a connection with the Father and of knowing Jesus. All of that is done rejecting Him. So all of that is done in death. all of that is done in a place where those that do it, though they may get momentary pops or momentary, you know, happiness or whatever, but if you stop them just long enough to let them have to deal with the reality of their choice, they know they're empty. Cut them off from their friends for about a week, about a day, even a couple of hours, and they start to melt down because they live off the collective. Whereas the Father has His people, and His people that know Him, we walk with Him for ourselves. We walk with Him in an amazing line, an amazing connection, direct connection with Him. And no man blocks this. No man stands in the way of this. And the first thing that's essential is to connect up with the reason you were made. So when you are in that connection, now you're in a place where you are ready and basically beginning to flow in what you were designed for. Okay, now, in preparing to die, another thing, second one, number two, is understanding your true self, and from there, living out the remainder of your time here. Okay. God, Ephesians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans, all of them talk about different gifts, different skills, different gifts that God put in His body, all of that. Each one of us, every one of us is uniquely gifted, skilled, have certain talents, abilities, passion, heart for different things. God has given you that. And He gave you that for a reason. So when you know Him first, from that place, you need to then allow for those things that God has put in you, understanding your true self and allowing that to be manifest under the power of the Spirit of God. See, until you're ready to die, you're not ready to live. I'll say it again. Until you're ready to die, you're not truly ready to live. Until you are ready to pass from this life into the next, and that is done and resolved and ready, and you are prepared and you know it, until you have that in place, you are not yet ready to live out this life that God intended for you. And that's why Jesus spoke to people and He said, look, if you're going to come after Me, if you're going to follow Me, you know, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow Me. Well, I remember that in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, He said, and when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of Me and My words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. Okay, so if you're going to follow Him, you've got to take up your cross and follow Him. Basically, you're on your way to die. And what God does with His people, with anyone that will accept a relationship with Him, and of their free will choose to walk out a life and a relationship with Him, is that He now takes that person and He then leads you to your own death in this life, in a certain way where everything basically happens in that you die to this world. And then the new life that you now live is lived in Christ Jesus. So basically, everything that would happen in a death happens except you don't stop breathing. You're still breathing. You're still here, but you have now died to this world. And in the process of dying to this world, now you are ready to live the true life that God intended, the abundant life that God offers. He offers abundant life to those that are His. But the way that it comes is that it comes when you now let go of the life and the reality that you think of here on this side. So, yeah, you can. I'm sure you can hear Leroy in the background there. Very old, very wise dog. So understanding your true self, and from there, your unique gifts, talents, abilities, passions. See, you won't understand who you truly are unless you first die to who you were in this world. If you don't die to who you were in this world and who the world framed you to be, you're still stuck in that reality. See, you have to lose yourself to what it was that you thought you wanted, what it was that you thought you would be, what it was that you thought would give you life and peace, and surrender it for basically what it is that the Father would offer you, what it is that the Father would give you. And if you fail to do that, then you live out your life here basically trying to create something that you think would make you happy, you think would give you peace, but in the end it's empty. So, but see, now God's put things in you. He's put certain things there for you. So like, for example, one person, just on a natural level, have you noticed how certain people have they just seem like they're musically inclined? They can pick up any instrument and they can play it. And they can play it well. You give them 2 weeks with an instrument and they can master that thing, it seems like. And then you get somebody else who, you know, you put them in a room and they can organize the whole thing. They know where everything should go and what should be put where and how. You get somebody else that has a gift with numbers. You get someone else that just has a gift of healing and the ability just, you start going through, but everybody's different. And some people may have similar traits, but people have different gifts and talents and abilities. God has put those in them. God has put those skills inside of them. But the only way... Now see, the world sees those skills as well. And the world tries to tap those independent of the Father. So they just want to basically take whatever you might have that's useful to them and use it to build their system. Whereas God, what He does is He... When a person's bowed their heart before Him and they've allowed Him to take them to the cross and to take them to their own death to this world, then the new life that they now live, the resurrection life they now live in Christ Jesus, that life now also takes all of those gifts, all of those talents, all of those skills and abilities that God has put in them and activates them for the remainder of their time in this world. So that's the whole thing with baptism. When we go through the act of water baptism, what we're doing is we're making a public declaration, a natural example of the spiritual reality that's now taken place. Well, basically, the old us is gone, and it is done and it is buried, and the new us that comes forward is now lived out in the resurrection life that we now have in Christ Jesus. So you now live the rest of your life and your existence in Him. And as an extension, an ambassador of the kingdom of God in this world as it is right now. I'll give you your number three. Your number three now, you've got your gifts and talents and abilities and your passion and all of your heart, all of those things being manifest, then you follow the direction and the leading of God's Spirit. See, we God wants to lead and guide you, one, into all truth, and two, into an abundant life. But it happens on His terms. He knows what's best for you. He knows what you need. He knows what you don't need. He knows what should be in your life. He knows what shouldn't be in your life. He knows what He has for you, and He knows what you would think would be good for you, but really isn't, and there is no satisfaction in that. So follow the direction and the leading of God's Spirit. As you do that, what happens is now you are being led in a path that is solidifying you for basically eternity. You're being led on an eternal path now. You're being led in a way that what you do right now has eternal significance, has eternal lasting value this day. You realize that everything that the world does has no value whatsoever, that has no lasting value at all, that the earth wears out like a garment and it'll be changed, and that everything that they're doing right now, all of the busyness, all of the shifting and conniving and trying to get people to believe them, and PR and all the mind games and all that stuff, it means nothing. All of it is vanity. All of it is a waste of time and energy and effort. Meanwhile, God's kingdom and God's people that walk with the King, everything that we do has eternal, lasting significance because we do it in extension of the kingdom. It is the rock that grows and fills the whole earth. We're part of that rock because we are built and our lives are built in Christ Jesus. Our lives are hidden in Him. He is the rock and He is the foundation, and we grow and the lives that we now live, the temples that we are made into, are built on the foundation of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. We live and move and have our being in that. And everything that we do in connection with Him has eternal significance. Just as everything that Jesus did in this life while He was here in this world has eternal, lasting significance. So, you live your life out of the direction and leading and the guiding of the Spirit. And as you do that, you're also solidifying yourself in your preparation to pass from this life into the next. So when the natural death comes, it's just a hiccup. It's not a big deal at all. It's hardly noteworthy when it happens. That's why so many of God's saints, so many of the people that walked with Him, when they left this life, they didn't run from their deaths. They walked right into them, knowing that they were going to go, because the Spirit of God would quicken them in their hearts that, okay, it's getting close, you're about ready, and they would just go to it. Why? Because they were ready. They were ready to pass from this life into the next. And they, scriptures tell us that Elijah was a man just like us. So if Elijah was a man like us, all of them were men like us. And just like these saints of God knew what was coming and when their time would be for them to leave this world, likewise, you can know and be ready. Now, here's one thing. Number four, you don't want to go before your time, and you don't want to go after your time. All right. You don't want to go after your time either. You know, I notice how many people they want so badly to stick around. And the truth is, you want to be in step with God. See, Jesus, when he died in this world, when He lived out the ultimate example of the perfect life, of what the most amazing life that could ever be lived in this world was, when He lived that out, Jesus died on time. He died on the right, absolute right minute, right second. He passed from what this life was. He passed through what this life was. And then he went on and, you know, he rose from the grave and all of the rest of that that went on with it. But when that moment came, Jesus was in right step with the Father. And it's important for his people, those that are truly his, to be in step with him so that when that moment comes, you are right in position and you don't go before your time and you don't go after your time either. Because you don't want to be sticking around in this life and in this reality when God has intended for you to already go. But the reason that people so often miss their time, because there is a point of time for you, but people die all over the place. But the reason that some people miss their time and get off of that is because they're out of step with the Father. They're out of step with the will of God. And you will die on time when you live in step and in connection with Him. If you live in step and connection with Him, nothing can touch you unless the Father allows it. Because God has commanded His angels concerning you that you will not strike your foot against the stone. That He has commanded His angels concerning you that you are protected and shielded as you walk through this life. You know how many disasters and damage and danger misses you on a daily basis because the angels of God are protecting you? Do you know how many things that God shields you from and watches over for you? Just so that you even have just this day the ability to breathe and have conscious thought. You exist in this reality because God allows for you to. You know how many things are necessary just for you to be able to... just to breathe. So He's put all of that together so that you could have this experience of life in this reality. So what are you worried about? What are you stressed about? What are you perplexed about? What is robbing your joy, robbing your peace? What have you allowed of this world to creep in to now get some hold in your mind where you've lost track of what's really important and now you're caught up in some meaningless, trivial things? Stop it. Stop, stop, stop. Let that stuff go. Allow for the Spirit of God to lead and guide you and get back in step with what He's doing. Okay, and number five is when you die, you want to die in connection with your Creator, grown up in the Spirit, walking in relationship with Him, doing what He has for you to do, free from the snares and weights of this world and from any demonic hooks that the enemy might want to put on you, having discharged and fulfilled your ministry, your assignment, your role in this life, at peace with God, and if possible with men, forgiving everyone with no bitterness, and praying for all that God has for you to pray for, leaving it there, and leaving this life in the peace of God. So, yes. I'll say that part again. Part of it again. You want to die in connection with your Creator, grown up in the Spirit. You want to grow up in the Spirit. You don't want to leave this life an immature, still drinking milk for the last 40 years in some pew. You want to have got on with it. You want to be walking in relationship with Him, doing what He has for you to do, free from the snares and weights of this world, and from any demonic hooks, having discharged and fulfilled your ministry, your assignment, and your role in life that was given by God, at peace with God, and if possible with men, forgiving everyone with no bitterness and no unforgiveness to anyone. You want to leave this life that way. And God is offering that to you. God is allowing for you to do that. So we're going to spend some time in this series in the coming few that will be with this one. And take time to to pray. Take time to allow God to reveal this to your own heart so that you yourself are prepared and ready for the eventuality that will come. Because if you can allow the Spirit of God to take you through and to prepare you for this, you can now then live the remainder of whatever God has for you in this life in joy and in peace and in the fullness of what God intends, because you're not holding on to anything here and you've realized the reason that God has kept you still here, and you can maximize the remainder of whatever it is that constitutes time for you in this life and in this world. So God intended for you to have that. It's yours in Christ Jesus. It's a beautiful gift. So just pray right now in Jesus' name that God would keep you, that God would bless you, that God would open your heart, your mind, and your understanding, and remove all fear and all doubt and all confusion from you in Jesus' name, and give you peace. Amen. Hey, love you. God bless you. And we're going to pick this up again soon. All right. You're covered by an evil's 401k pension. Not to mention, you learn your lesson. No more vexing, no more stressing, no more guessing, no more heaven and hell questions. No more just living for the blessing. No more dressing, forget the ice and aggression. Not my wife, no caressing. I don't care if she's but equal, Australian or Texan. And you ain't scared to scream that to your whole section. I'm not living for this life, cause I'm living for the next one. Living for the next one, living for the next one. Living for the living for the living for the next one. Thank you.